Well, thank you, Leah. My, what a blessing. You know, I really believe, I mean, God has no lack of power if we would do. Now, I know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 was given to Solomon, the Jews, but the spiritual application will certainly fit us. And if we do what the verse says, God would do what he said. The problem is not that we don't hear it, understand it, but as a nation, even the Christians in this nation, we're not doing it. I believe there's enough Christians in America that we could turn the tide if we did it. Oh, I want you to go tonight to a little book that we hardly ever probably spend a lot of time in, but it's 3 John, just before you get to Jude, which is just before you get to Revelation, right? The little book of 3 John. It's the shortest of the books. It's actually got 14 verses, which is one more, I think, than 2 John, which has 13, but it has less words. 294 words, short. John seems to be writing to correct somebody that's a little bit out of line in the church. You find that in verse 9. That's not our subject tonight. I want to read the first 4 verses tonight, and I want to deal with a subject really to us as a church that we must walk on. You see it in the text here. Verse 1, the elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, the TV evangelist uses this verse to get rich off of. Sorry, but it's the truth. And it's way out of context the way they use it. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. That's the way we're supposed to walk. Walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, John's getting to be John the Elder by this time. He probably has not yet written the book of Revelation, but he's going to be exiled out on the Isle of Patmos, and God's going to give him the truth of the book of Revelation. But right here he's writing to the church, and he's encouraging them to keep on walking. And I want to say to us, Brother Pritchard's passing was so sudden and unexpected. And we all feel the pain for the family. We know Brother Mike is out of pain. We know he's absent from the body and present with the Lord. But as a church family, and many of you have come up to me today and you've said things that make me know that that's on your mind and on your heart, and rightfully so. So I kind of raised the question, what do? Church-wise, we walk on. We walk on. John said to hear that the church was walking on was pleasing to him. I think it's pleasing to the Father. I think it would be pleasing if God allows such a thing for Brother Pritchard to know. Certainly please him to see us walking on, continuing to go the right direction. Now, we're going to miss him, and funeral sermon's going to be tough, going to be a little bit tough on some of us. But I think I was telling Myrtle Herman back there, I've been around the building today several times. I was in here early this morning, and 100 little times, almost today that many times, maybe not that many, but a number of times today, various little things reminded me. And that's going to go on for a while. That's going to happen for a while. I come in this morning to turn the baptistry on. That's normally something Brother Pritchard does. I had to make sure the water's warm enough in case we need it. Even in the summertime, it still needs turning on. And I always came in a little earlier than him. I'd get here about 7. He'd get here 7:30, sometime 8. And the good part was I knew if I missed something, he'd check behind it. He didn't miss anything. He really didn't. In fact, you know, Jesus said that I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, right? Well, if Jesus would let me tell him, I want to tell him the inspector's coming. I hope he done a good job. Now, I'm joking about Mike a little bit, but how many of you know what I'm talking about? He didn't miss nothing, brother. He didn't miss nothing. And that was a good quality, because it's the little things that the big things rest upon. And the success of the big depends on the little things being in place. And he was watching after the little things. And no doubt about it. And while we can joke about that a little bit, boy, we're going to miss him, man, just all kind of ways. And yet, somebody said to me today, well, you lost your friend. Well, I didn't really lose him. I know where he's at, you know. But church-wise, it's okay to hurt a little bit, not hurting for him, hurting for his family, hurting for us, and that's okay. But how do we keep walking on? How do we keep going? Used to be an old spiritual, I don't think I can get the words to it now, but let the church move on. Is that the way it said?
Church roll on.
Roll on, that's it. Let the church roll on. And I don't remember much about it. I remember it said something like this, that if the deacon on the board don't deke, take him off the board and put the board on him, let the church roll on. I mean, so it didn't matter what happened, let the church roll on. And there were several other cute sayings. In fact, song leader, you ought to look that one up for me if you find it. That's a good one. Not right now. Stay off that thing while I'm preaching, all right? I don't think he was fixing to, but just in case. Now let the church roll on. And the text there said, let us walk on. Now, how are we going to walk? Now, Paul said to the Philippian church, walk by the same rule. What you've been doing, keep doing it. That's what he's saying. Walk by the same rule. And you know, some of the reasons, you think about some of those things that become routine, they become routine because they are important things. And we do routine things over and over again, and we do them almost automatically. You know, every now and then I get in my car and I leave the house and I need to go to the hospital, maybe in Winter Haven. If I'm not careful, that car will come up here. It's done it so many times. We create a pattern, don't we? And in our mind, we say somebody's groovy. It means he's cut a groove in there on something. It's stuck with him and staying with him. And the truth of the matter, we need to cut good grooves, because we can cut good ones just as well as bad ones. That'll stick in there. And we need to just keep walking on by the same rule and not letting ourselves get sidetracked or distracted. Not let little things bother us. I got home today after lunch. Before lunch, I got in. Sonia was fixing lunch in the kitchen. I got walked in. She said, "Well, there was a little comedy relief this morning." So what are you talking about? Always scares me when she's got something like that to say. She said, "You added a forefather that didn't exist." I said, "What?" I was trying to say Benjamin Franklin, and I said Franklin Henry. You didn't know it. I shouldn't have told you. Now, Franklin Henry is a classmate of mine I graduated with. And she knew that. And by the way, I didn't hear myself say that. And of course, I don't trust her 100%. You do know that she is only about 20 years younger than me. You do understand that, don't you? So I don't know how much trust her memory either. But all joking aside, We're going to make a mistake here or there, but we can't get distracted. We can't get knocked off the path. We got to keep on. We got to have the church roll on. We got to do that by walking by the same rule, the same thing that was right 10 years ago, still right today. And though the culture changed and the attitude towards sin has changed, no doubt about that. But we're not supposed to change. Not that way. And we need to keep walking on. Now, how do we keep walking on, especially you and not just the Pritchard family, but you that have lost loved ones, and many of you have. And if you're not careful, you'll quit. I heard, I was over at the Pritchard's house, and Herman and Judy, all of us in the room talking, and Judy reminded Herman, said, you asked me one time, how long does the pain last? After you lose a loved one, how long does the pain last? And I liked her. I liked the answer she gave, because she was already experiencing it. She said, it don't last as long as the grace lasts. So when Mandy was playing a while ago about the grace, yes, thank God for His grace. Amen. Our church will keep on walking on. We'll keep on going by the grace of God. Amen. Say, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to keep on building. No, not under my ministry will I start another building. I've had enough. I'm not talking about physical buildings. I always thought Noah had the best excuse to get drunk of anybody I ever heard, because he was in a building program for 120 years. Now, I'm joking. I'm talking about building. Do you know every day we live as a Christian, we're supposed to be growing, building in the faith, building in the grace of God, building in the service to the Lord. And yes, we're not through. We're still alive. God's left us here for a reason. He took Brother Mike quick. He could take you and I just as quick. And so you got a reason. You got a reason, you got a cause, and the cause is the cause of Christ. And we got work to do. We still got building to do. We got spiritual growing to do, and to keep on serving God. You know the best way you grow in the Lord is doing something to teach somebody else. Sunday school teachers, and I was one of them, started out, didn't know anything about the Bible. Preacher said, if you don't go in that little boy's class, they won't have nobody. And I went in there scared of, more afraid of those 11-year-old boys than I've ever been from a big church crowd, because I had to learn. But you know what? It made me learn. And I grew. And that's the way, that's why if you get involved doing something for God, the repercussion that comes back is a blessing and a benefit to you. And so what are we going to do church-wise? We're just going to keep on building. We're going to keep on growing in the Lord and do what we can do for Him. Nothing excites us anymore than being able to help somebody else, and especially help them spiritually, and especially win them to Christ. There's been talk going, I don't know any detail. I know one or two of the preachers may be involved, but they're having a great revival in some parts of the land. Up in Bloomington, is it Indiana? Where is it at? Carolina. Anyway, if it can happen in one place, it can happen in another. Say, well, why did it happen? A bunch of people must have got right with God. And they're having a whole pile of folks saved. Listen, God's not dead. He's not through. The devil hasn't won. We are still to occupy till Jesus comes. And yes, it can still be done. And somebody got right with God, and it started with a few, and it's grown and grown and grown, and they say thousands up there are getting saved in a great revival meeting, and I'm so glad to hear that. I believe the Lord is still able. And it don't depend on Him. It depends on His people getting in touch with Him and obeying Him. Amen. Yes, if we're going to walk on, we're going to walk on by the same rule. We're going to not only build, we're going to have to battle. I hate to say it, but the battle will not end. The church is in a war. It is a warfare. I used to think maybe as a young minister, and the struggle would finally one day get easier, and one day I'd climb up to the top of the hill and be able to coast down like I used to do on my bicycle, but I found out that's not the case. You may have some leveling off, you may have some blessing period, but the devil is setting a trap. He's going to get you again if he can. And it seems like we've had some attack. I've been pleading the blood of Jesus against Satan, even extra, and I hope that you are too, because he don't like this ministry. He don't like what we're doing. He don't like our outreach. He don't like the missionaries going around the world. He don't like the bus ministry. He don't like the radio station. He don't like anything we're doing. And we got to pray God's blessing on it and protection on it. Plead the blood against the devil, amen? And we are going to be in the battle. That's what Ephesians 6 says. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It appears that way, and flesh and blood becomes the tool of the devil, but it is still the devil behind it. And it's too bad, but that's the case. We've had a struggle from the beginning. I remember when I first came in the little building over there, and there was no restrooms in it. The only restrooms was right here. They still exist right here close to the elementary office in the little old building. One little room, sink and commode in one, sink and commode in the other. One for the men. By the way, it was no transgender business. We had men on one door and ladies on the other, amen. And those rooms are still there. But that's all we had. Well, that was all right when there's 30, 40 people showing up occasionally. But when we started packing that little church out, I got to noticing between Sunday school and church, it was taking a lot of folks a long time to get back in the auditorium, that little break I was given. And I slipped out the side door and looked, and there was a long line going in those restrooms. Now, I'm the kind of guy, when I see a problem, I want to fix it. So Monday morning, I decided we got to have some more restrooms. So I went in the other corner of the building, and they still exist. And you say there, you mean those crude restrooms over there? Don't say nothing, I built them. That's right on the corner of the building. I got in there the next month by myself, and I started planning out two restrooms. And I got me a sledgehammer, and I started beating holes in the concrete floor inside. Started working on it. Somebody squealed on me, and it wasn't long before the city inspector came out. And he really raised sand at me, "You can't do this without a permit." I said, "I'm not going to stop." And we fussed, and we had a time about it. I kept on working. He said I had to have a permit. So that was the first time I went before the city commissioners to argue. It's over those two restrooms. And I went in there, and by the grace of God, one of the commissioners is a man that had gotten saved under my preaching, and we won. We got a good track record of winning, amen. And we got the restrooms in. Oh, yeah, I had to call out a professional plumber before it was over, and yes, he bought a permit. I never did buy a thing, but he bought it. By the way, the plumber that I called out had gotten saved in my ministry too. So I mean, God's just good like that. He put things together. But it was a warfare, and it was a battle, and it's been that way. It was that way when we started the school. It was that way with the youth camp, and I was talking about Brother Mike and the memories right out here, about where some of y'all are sitting was just parking lot, and we started the school, and I went way over to the East Coast, loaded up a pickup truck with a bunch of used public school desks, and I brought them out right there and put them on the parking lot. Mike had just got saved, and he went out there, rented a spray gun, and we painted those things. You had to paint the writings off of them, you know what I'm talking about. And we repainted those things, and we started the school. Yeah, it was a battle. It was a struggle. It was a struggle getting the camp going. We had a fight over that. It was a struggle with the school, with the radio station, with the college, with all of it. But bless God, that's walking on. That's continuing to go the way we're supposed to go. Nehemiah in the Bible had to carry a sword in one hand, so to speak, and a trowel, a work tool in the other, and yet he didn't stop. You know, the church is in a war. If you don't believe me, think about what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I need to understand something. The church is charging the gates of hell, keep people out of hell. Win everybody we can to keep them from going to hell. And listen, the devil don't want that. He don't want us getting, he don't want to give up his converts, so to speak. He wants to take everyone with him that he possibly can. And so, yeah, we're going to be in a warfare, and we shouldn't be shocked every now and then when he gets in a lick. And he does on occasion. Sure he does. We shouldn't be surprised at that. You see, folks, as a church, we are a misfit. We are pilgrims passing through. This is not our final home. Right. And I've had folks say this to me because of my preaching, because of what I stand for through the years. Well, you just don't fit in this generation. That's true. But I'm going to fit most any time when the trumpet sounds. I am a misfit here, but I'm going to fit well where I'm going. And I praise God for that. Amen. Today, I don't fit in this stuff we're hearing about. Oh, man. I'm surprised at God's long-suffering, how he can continue with the dirt and the filth and the slap in the face that they're trying to do to him. But Peter said to you and I, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that'll try some of us. Don't be surprised about it. And say, well, what is the key to it? I look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and here's the way we strive. Here's the way the church rolls on. In verse 5, it says, if a man also strive for masteries, in other words, he wants to win, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. God's got some rules to go by, guidelines, boundaries. You know, if you play football, Brother Matt, there's some rules. There's some boundaries. You catch a guy, you know, the kickoff comes, he catches the ball, and instead of running down the field, he decides he'll go around behind the bleachers and come in and get to the goal line that way. Would that count? Of course not. It don't count when we try to pull tricks like that. There's a lawful way that God has his rules for us to follow. And a whole lot of stuff today that's blamed on God is not God at all. It's somebody trying to sneak around and come in a back door, run around behind the bleachers to score a touchdown, so to speak, and it don't work, and God does not bless it, and we're to be separate to God. Today, the opposite is what the devil's trying to get folks to do. The cry of unity today means compromise on truth. Lay the truth aside. Lay what is right. Drop your holiness and come on and march with us. That's the devil's trick. And hey, it is working in too many places. It really is. I want to say, though, we need to walk on by not only building and not only by battling, and we are going to have to do that, but by believing. Say, what do you mean? Believing God's word, going by his instructions, walking by his rules. Listen, did you ever think about this? To believe is to love God. Somebody said, well, I can't give God time to go to his house. I can't take my talents, my abilities, and give them to God to work. I can't give the tithe. What you're really saying is I don't really love God. Right. Truth is, if you got the love part right, the rest of it will fit in so easy. Amen. It'll just come without you even noticing it coming. But the key is, how much do I love God? How much do I love his cause? And that's what's behind faithfulness. No problem if the love's right. You've heard me tell this, but I remember the story of the lady, and this is her testimony. She gave this. She said, I got married. She said, but it didn't go good. She said, I hated to have to cook the meals. I hated to have to clean the house all the time. I hated to have to wash his clothes. I hate to have to get up early in the morning and fix his breakfast. She says, I just hate it. See, I did it, but oh, I hate it. I dread it. She said, well, he died. Now, I don't know where it was from, her cooking or what, but he died. That has happened, I think. Anyway, he died. And after a while, she got married again. And one day it dawned on her, I'm cooking breakfast just as early. I'm washing just as many dirty clothes. I'm cleaning the house every day. But I don't mind it now. And she thought, what is the difference? And it dawned on her, I didn't really love that first guy, but I love this one. Amen. Love makes a difference. Somebody says, how far do you live from church? I'm looking at a couple right now that live, what, 25 miles, Jack? And y'all been coming for so many years. I know you got your car trained, but coming for so many years, it's not how far they live from church, it's how far you live from God. That's the key. That's the key. And I see it all the time. I remember one time we was helping get a church started here in Florida. And that's been many years ago. And we got it started in a little old room. And then finally, I laugh about this because I went over and preached for them one time on a Sunday morning. We had about, 30, 40 people together. And they had rented, I had not been there before, but they had rented a room in a yacht club right on the water. On Sunday morning, while I'm up there preaching, you got glass windows, and there go all the ladies by in their bathing suits. That's hard to hold attention of that congregation, you know that? Now, I'm laughing about it a little bit, but we finally got some property, and we finally got a building. But the problem was, it was 5 miles away from where we were presently meeting. And there was people, Matt, that would not drive the extra 5 miles. You know what the problem was? It was a love problem.
That's right.
A love problem. No, I think they loved the preacher all right, at least they said they did. But they didn't love God like they should have. And that was the whole problem. Hey, believing is to love God. You'll not serve if you don't have the faith in it. If you don't believe and if you don't love God, that's where the whole problem comes from. And the truth is, if we're going to keep walking on, we've got to walk by the right rules. Keep on going. The old song says, we've come this far by faith. You know what? We got to finish the job. Finish the trip by doing the same thing. Just talking to you a little bit now as a church in this sense. It was Brother Pritchard this week, and it happened so fast. It could be you next week. It could be me. What are you going to do? Keep walking on. Keep walking on. Keep on serving God. And only God can tell us where the finish line is. And He's the one we trust for it. Meantime, our job is to tell everybody we can how to be saved. And if their turn comes and the call comes for them, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. Oh, it's more than that. We got to send the message around the world. It's more than that. We got to try to help grow and disciple people. I understand all that. But we have a job still to do. And when the devil does get in a lick or whatever, we keep on. We got to remember it's God's right and God's will to call whoever He wants home anytime that He wants to. It's not ours to question. But His commands are clear. We're to keep walking on. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to You in prayer. Lord, I've just kind of talked to our family tonight a little bit. And Father, I appreciate the hearts that's been touched. And Lord, something that happened we did not expect. And yet, Lord, we've already seen Your grace in it. And we pray for the Pritchard family. We pray for the church family. I pray, dear God, help us to ourselves be found faithful, even as Brother Mike was. I pray you'd bless in our midst, in our membership. I pray that members that have been following like old Peter, following afar off, I pray they'd get closer. That you might even use this, Father, to help somebody. I pray that you'd encourage us where we need it. I pray you'd help us to see, Father, that it's not a game we're playing, it's very real. And our time here, one day we'll account to you for after we've been saved. Bless the invitation tonight, Father. If there's one here without Jesus, we pray for their soul right now. Pray they would come. We pray that even tonight that each of us would have our hearts warmed up and we'd really look and see if our love translates and could be recognized by our actions. Bless them.